Good morning, everybody. I never thought I would live through a worldwide pandemic like this. It makes us all realize how uncertain tomorrow may be. I can't remember a time when there's been so much uncertainty about even just week to week. Fear and anxiety go with it everywhere. And on top of that, people are also often hostile to people of faith. It's a time of darkness, but in the darkness, we must remember to turn on the light. But how? We've been studying the first letter from Peter, written to people of faith who've been scattered, sometimes persecuted, and needing encouragement. And it's a letter for us. We've been reminded by Peter in previous sections who we are. Citizens of the kingdom of God, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. We are the holy and shining ones, standing in a world of darkness and trouble. And so then Peter urges us to live in such a way that everyone may see our good way of living and thus glorify God. And today he gets real specific about how we, the holy and shining ones, should turn on the light so that people will glorify God. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He who was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. So there are six things here that Peter is urging us to do. First of all, he says, the beginning of turning on the light is to live in harmony with your fellow believers. You would think that would be a relatively easy thing. Let's just start with living in harmony with each other. But it doesn't always work out that way. A lot of people, in fact, hate the church because it was there in the church that someone hurt them or abused them in some way. The thing is, if we have faith, we care about it a lot. And so as a result, the hurts and the injuries from the broken people that are here go deeper and hurt more. And Jesus keeps letting in all kinds of people into his church because he loves them all. And what people need to see is that it is possible to have faith and to live peaceably with one another in love. They need to see that people of faith aren't necessarily contentious, condemning, and hateful people. So the first step is be a good example with just each other. Now, I've lived my whole life in the church. And I can tell you, because it's real people, sometimes it's not all that easy. But Peter gives us some keys for making it work. He encourages. He says, be sympathetic, be compassionate, be humble. That is, to be more aware of the feelings of our brothers and sisters and let go of our pride. That is the pathway to peace. I have to confess, I haven't always been that good at it. But when I've done it, when I've allowed myself to be sympathetic and compassionate and humble, it has always gone better, and I have found peace. In the early days of our faith, the Romans and others were amazed at one thing about these people they called Christians. What amazed them was their incredible love for one another. What if that became true once again? What if that was what we were known for on the other side of the pandemic? The second thing Peter says, if we want to turn on the light, we must bless those who hurt us. He says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. When we are hurt, we should bless in return. Now, human instinct is to strike back, to escalate conflict. But that is not God's way. And if we bless those who hurt us, then it points to our Heavenly Father and gives Him glory and brings us a blessing. And again, it's the key to living peacefully with others inside the church and outside the church. It does not mean that we must accept abuse or be in an unsafe situation, but it does mean that you don't retaliate, but rather pray and bless those who hurt you. If someone's coming to mind in this moment that hurt you, right now, pray good for them. Our nation right now is hurtfully divided by a near constant exchange of insults and outrage and retaliation and escalation. More outrage changes nothing. But I wonder if a concerted effort to bless those who disagree might move things in a new direction. And what if we were the ones who tried it first and tried it best? Third, Peter says, do not fear what they fear. That is such a powerful phrase. I want to just go around all day repeating it. Do not fear what they fear. Do not fear what they fear. What do they fear? They fear being disliked. They fear being misunderstood. They fear being shamed. They fear losing their job. They fear death. Do not fear what they fear. That doesn't mean throw caution to the wind. The Bible does tell us also not to tempt God by putting ourselves in a situation to try to force God to save us. We should be wise. And in this pandemic, we should listen to the doctors and the scientists as best we can and live appropriately. But we can do that without being afraid. You know, 250 years ago, crossing the Atlantic Ocean was a perilous journey. On one of those journeys, a young man named John Wesley was on his way to America for the first time. Also on his ship were a group of folks that everyone called the Moravians. They were Holy Spirit-filled believers who were primarily from a part of Germany that was called Moravia. And when a storm came up, the whole ship full of people, including the sailors, were crying out in fear, but not the Moravians. They continued their worship as if nothing had happened or was happening. They were not afraid to die. And that fearlessness changed Wesley's life. And he, as a result, turned his life to Jesus completely and totally and became a great evangelist, preaching to millions. What if, folks, in our century, we were the fearless ones? But the secret to not being afraid has a lot to do with what comes next. Fourth, Peter says, keep Jesus first in your heart. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. That is, to devote our entire existence to him and to saying yes to him as Lord of everything in our lives. If our entire lives are in his hands, what is there to fear? What does it matter if some misunderstand us as long as he's pleased with us? What does it matter if we can't see how we'll pay our bills if he is our provider? What does it matter if we die if that only means we go to him now instead of a bit later? If Jesus is truly Lord in my heart, I need fear nothing. If Jesus is truly Lord in my heart, I need not fear men, nor virus, nor disaster, or any other thing. And in this way, Christ is honored and glorified because it shows that our hope is unshakable. The hope of many has been shaken, but our hope remains the same, unshakable and untouchable, because it is not of this world and because it is in the hands of Jesus our Savior. If Jesus is not first in our heart, then we can be intimidated and swayed by the threats of man and nature. So I suggest, make Jesus first in your heart and life. Five, Peter says, be ready to explain your story of faith. You know, if we do the first four things, living in harmony and blessing those who bless us and being not fearful and putting Christ first, then people are going to ask questions. And that's what happened with John Wesley and millions of others over the centuries. And so we need to be ready to explain. But Peter says, explain with gentleness and respect. That means, first of all, not so much saying that the person asking the question is wrong, but simply explaining how it works for you. Be ready to explain what Jesus has done in your life. Be ready to explain how that enables you to pursue peace and to bless and to be fearless. You don't have to have all the answers about science or heaven or hell. Just share your story about what Jesus has done for you. And God takes it from there. And always remember, your tone or attitude must always reflect that gentleness and respect, because that's actually what often wins people's hearts. Many, many years ago, I was on an airplane with a friend on our way across the Atlantic the other direction, and we were having an argument. And everything he said, I had an answer to. He would say something, and I would have an answer. And this went on for a while, and then he turned to me and he said, you know, you're winning this argument, but you're losing my heart. And I realized, I have done this completely wrong. It was a big wake-up call. And we all need to remember that. The goal is to win people's hearts, and it's gentleness and respect that does it. Finally, Peter says, remember how Christ suffered for you. It's not always easy to turn on the light in the darkness. But if we remember how Christ our Lord suffered and how he blessed those who heard him and how he was fearless on our behalf, that can help us. And it also reminds me of this. He's got me, even when I fail to live up to his way. He's got me when I'm living it all out in the power of the Spirit, and he's got me on those days when my heart is cold and I struggle to choose the way of light. He's got me when I'm hurting, and he's got me when I'm not. He's got me when I'm tired, and he's got me when I'm afraid. He's got me when I'm grieving, and he's got me when I'm joyful. Right now, just right over in the chat, he's got me. He's got me. And that's what I want to say to you this day, is that if you've turned your life over to him, then he's got you. He's got you today. He's got you tomorrow. He's got you in his hands, and he will carry you through no matter what comes, no matter what others say or do. And in his hands, we can do this. We can be the light in the darkness in our time and for the sake of all the people of Chicagoland.